that's accepted praise in his sight. When we get a glimpse of what his holiness and his glory is, it truly is a blessing to know the Lord in all his aspects, and that God had to humble himself, the Father, and God the Son, to make that contact with us. As a young believer in Messiah, that totally blew my mind. Is growing up and occasionally being able to go to synagogue, there was a speeches and speaking by the rabbis, and the instruction was of the relationship that the patriarchs had with Elohim. And there was such a loss in that I did not see that as an ongoing representation within the synagogue of knowing Elohim. And when I would hear the rabbis teach about Moshe being the friend of God, you know, the thought that first popped into my mind as a young boy, I too would like to be like Moshe. Not to be as great as he is, but to simply to be called a friend of Elohim. What a highly exalted place that is. And as Brother Tim has shared today in the Messianic moment, the relationship, and also with Brother John during our Torah portion, how important the relationship is, that we have relationship vertically with Abba, Father, God, and His Son, and the Ruach, but even greater shows that there is a relationship is with our horizontal relationship with one another. We pray, we encourage, we exalt, we exhort, and we want to build up one another in our holy faith in Messiah. What a true journey that is here on earth. And I've had this question asked to me many, many times. So what about those people did not walk with the Lord while they were on this earth, and they received the revelation on their deathbed, and they went into the presence of the Lord after accepting him, repenting of their sins, and they go into his presence? I told them this, that I believe that up there in heaven, the Lord's going to allow them to build relationships with fellow believers. And that's going to go on for all eternity. Because I know this, that once the Lord calls my name and I die one day, I'm not going to be perfect. Will I be closer to his image and likeness little by little? Absolutely. But I will not. The work and the completion that God wants to do in my life will not be completed on this earth. And that's why I have a hope that in heaven, like all those who've gone before us, and a lot of us know those individuals who've come to know the Lord in their later years or maybe early years, and all of a sudden the Lord takes them. We're just simply to leave all that in the hands of God, but simply be accountable for what he's showing us to do and walk therein. And that is sharing the love that we have in Messiah to everyone that we meet. Praise be to Adonai's name. And so, Father, as we come to your word, we just ask, Almighty God, that you will open up these pages of Scripture, that we'd be able to fully understand and comprehend all that you desire for us to do. Just as Brother Tim shared today, that it was Adonai's desire and said to Father Abraham, I'm about to do something, and should I not share that with my friend? And I'm not trying to cheapen this, because we look at Elyon Hashem, God the Father, as being holy. But he's made it possible that we can have a friendship and relationship with him. And whenever we cross over that line where it's buddy-buddy to the point where we're showing him any disrespect, he lets us know.
Absolutely.
He lets us know.
Absolutely.
But to have that friendship with the Lord, that is truly a blessing. And so now as we continue with the teaching through the book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And the title of this message is, and you probably won't hear this in a lot of different congregations that happen to be churches, but I've entitled this message, The Feast of Shavuot. And you may be wondering why that is. Well, as you turn there, what have we been dealing with for the past year plus? We've gone through the book of Matthew, which is Matthew, and we saw that Yeshua participated in the feasts of Adonai, his feasts. And what a great significance is this, and I'll really condense this as I need to. On Pesach, he became the Lamb of God who took away the sins. On Yom Bukurim, which is first fruits, and that's of the barley harvest, he was the first one resurrected from the dead. And now here's our third one. After the 50 days of the second day of Pesach, we count the Omer forward 50 days. Then comes the date of Shavuot. And so these Jewish people, 120, who were assembled in this upper room, who had been spending time in prayer daily, there's other things that they had to do during the day, but they spent a majority of their time in prayer, and they were becoming one mind and one heart as what was Yeshua's desire. They're waiting for the promise of the Father to come. And so now we'll go through the reading of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And then when we're done reading that, I'm going to go back to the significance of Shavuot, the third feast of Adonai, that is Yeshua is fulfilling through the Ruach. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The feast of Shavuot had arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and they began to talk in different languages. I know in some translations it says tongues. This was not simply the babbling of people who are groaning in the presence of the Lord in prayer, but they were speaking languages here. And notice this, where it is going on inside that building. And they did not have glass windows. So as they were speaking these languages and they were above the people of the streets, it was being broadcasted out of the windows. So continuing here. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Notice there, who is the enabler? Who is the instructor? Who is the empower and the equipper? But the Ruach. So just from reading from that portion right there, these are basically languages they did not fully know themselves. Continuing here. On verse 2:5. Now there was staying in Jerusalem religious Jews from every nation under heaven. Why are they gathered here? To celebrate Shavuot. Going on to verse 6. When they heard this sound, and were they here? The people who are out in the streets. A crowd gathered, and they were confused because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his own language. Now, wait a second. Were these just simple people traveling that were out there sightseeing? No, they were Jewish people that had left Israel, and they had homes, dwelling places, businesses, synagogues, Jewish communities in these foreign countries. Okay, let's go forward here. Each one of them heard the believers speaking in his own language. That means the language of that native country that they were born in. So continuing here, 2:7. Totally amazed, they asked, "How is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from Galilee?" Now we got to stop for a second. If you were born and raised in Galilee or Galilee, you had a certain accent, all right? You ever meet people in America? People from the East, they sound a certain way. The South. And once you talk to people from the South, they'll tell you that there's a Texas accent, there's an Alabama accent, there's a Tennessee accent. And then you go to the Dakotas, then you go Wyoming, Montana, Washington State, California. They all have different accents. So this was undeniable, and this tells you something here. These people were familiar with dealing with Galileans, all right? And so they could detect this. I took a little bit of French in high school. And when I've heard some people speak French, I would share certain words with them. And sometimes they'd look at me a little bit surprised because they were surprised that I even knew any French. And secondly, they knew that where I'd received that teaching was American French. Because if you take French from people who are native from France, it's so much more beautiful. And that's just the way it is. So my Californian accent comes out. And they said, "You're from the West Coast, are you not?" And I said, "Yes, I am." So it's amazing how people even today can kind of pick out by how we speak and our dialect from where we are, where we come from, even if we're speaking another language. So let's move forward here. Verse 8, how is it that we hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, which is Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and I thought this last week, that's Minnesota. No, it's not. But it's Phrygia, all right? Having a little fun here, okay? Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Jews by birth and proselytes, Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done? Amazed and confused, they all went asking each other, okay? Is that part of us? We're confused and we'll stay in that state, so we just ask other people who are confused to explain things that we're confused about. They didn't simply go and knock on the door of that upper room and say, how can you even tell us about these great things of God? Because if you study about the Galileans, a lot of the people from Galilee were not highly educated. That was kind of like the backwaters. Did not the Pharisees say these words? Nothing has ever come from Galilee that is of good or worth. And so the people from Judah, who were higher class Jewish people, would look down through their noses from the people who descended from Galilee. So we have to take this all into perspective. So going on here and finishing in verse 13. But others made fun of them and said, they've simply had too much wine. And we're going to stop right there. Why? Because we need to. Because we have to now look at the significance of Shavuot. And the reason why they were drawn together. These Jewish people that were drawn together from around the earth. All right? And so if we would turn to Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 21. On the same day, you are to call a holy convocation and do not any kind of ordinary work. This is a permanent regulation through all your generations, no matter where you live. And when you harvest the right crops produced in your land, don't harvest all the way to the corners of your field, and do not gather the ears of grain left by the harvesters. Leave them for the poor and foreigner. I am Adonai your God. And so with this, the portion here, and I have to go a little bit further up, verse 15. From that day of rest, that is, from the day you bring the sheaf, waving, you are to count 7 full weeks until the day of the 7 weeks. You are to count 50 days. Then you are to present a new grain offering to Adonai. You must bring bread from your homes for waving. 2 loaves made one with 1 gallon of fine flour, baked with leaven, as first fruits for Adonai, along with the bread present, present 7 lambs without defect, 1 year old and 1 bull, and 2 rams. These will be burnt offerings for Adonai, with the grain and drink offerings, an offering made by fire, as a fragrant aroma for Adonai. Offer 1 male goat as a sin offering and 2 male lambs, 1 year old, as a sacrifice of peace offerings. The Kohen will wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before Adonai. With the 2 lambs, these will be holy for Adonai, for the Kohen. And so with that portion there, the temple is still there, the second temple. And so the morning and evening sacrifices are all happening at this time. And so all these Jewish people have come and they brought their money. They bought the sacrifices, the animals to be presented. All these things are going about. And so this was to be a perpetual gathering of Jewish people from outside of Israel to participate. The Feast of Shavuot and Weeks is one of 3 regalim. They are pilgrim festivals. When every Jewish male goes up to Jerusalem, the others are Pesach and Sukkot. These are the spring feasts of Adonai. The name Shavuot comes from Exodus, Shemot 34:22, and Deuteronomy 16:9-10, which along with Leviticus 23:15-16, determined that the festival is to be 7 weeks after the start of Pesach. The Bible also says you shall number 50 days, Leviticus 23:16. Hence, in the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah, the Greek name for the holiday is also Pentikitos, which means 50, and usually transliterated into English as Pentecost. And you know what's something that's going on here is that the majority of Jewish people that lived outside the land of Israel are coming back and they're celebrating these feasts of Adonai. They have been influenced so heavily by Greek society that a lot of them are just doing this out of simple rote because they become Hellenized through the Greek culture. But in amongst them are a holy remnant, or those are doing as unto the Lord. And so there's going to be a lot of things that's been going on since Pesach has ended, the death and resurrection of Messiah, and all those things that happened with his death and his resurrection. And all of Jerusalem is shaking now because of all these events that have happened. And so now going forward here, 2 other names for the festival of Shavuot are found in the Tanakh. The first one is Yom, Y-O-M, Ha, H-A-B-I-K-K-U-R-I-M, Yom HaBukrim, the day of first fruits, and that's found in Numbers 28:26. And that speaks of the barley harvest. Because if you notice in Leviticus there, it speaks about bringing these sheaves and waving, and then waiting 50 days, and then there's going to be a second harvest. The second harvest is that of wheat. All right? So there were barley loaves that were brought, and they were offered before Adonai, waved by the priest. That was the second day after Pesach ended, the day of first fruits, and that was when Messiah Yeshua rose from the dead. And then 50 days later, there was the other feast called Shavuot, and that was the one that was established that they would take from the wheat harvest, which was after the early spring rains, and this was a time of celebration. A time of celebration in that, think about this. What did Yeshua say he is? He is the bread of life. And so he is being honored with the Messianic believers at this time as we move forward here. So going on Shavuot, or first fruits of the wheat harvest, were presented to Adonai in the temple. The offerings consisted of two loaves of baked bread with leavened flour, Leviticus 23:17. Notice this. Just prior to this celebration, the first celebration of Adonai's feasts, there is bread, but it's unleavened bread. But this bread, both the barley, first fruits, after the 2 days after Pesach ended, and the one that then is part of the second part of first fruits, is the wheat harvest. This is also leavened bread. So let's move forward here. The offer consisted of two loaves of bread baked with leavened flour, Leviticus 23:17. Thus was celebrated God's providence at the start of the wheat season. Besides its primary archaeological significance, Shavuot later came to be understood as commemorating the giving of the Torah to Moshe, Moses. The earliest references to this reinterpretation date are from the 2nd and 3rd centuries Common Era, Talmud, Shabbat 86b. So moving forward, Louis Jacobs, using a material from Louis Finkelstein's Pharisees, theorizes that the transformation into the historical feast took place before the present era. This is found in Encyclopedia Judaica, page 14. Exodus 19:1 says that the Israelites came to the mount, to the foot of the mount of Mount Sinai, in the third month. From this and other biblical data, the rabbis deduced that God actually gave the Torah on Shavuot. Thus, each pilgrim festival was associated with a major historical event in the forming of the Jewish people. Pesach, the celebrating of Exodus from Egypt, has creation as its theme. The creation of the Jewish people, the Exodus, the theme of Shavuot is a revelation, and the name and the theme of Sukkot associated with the 40 years of wandering culminated by the entering into the promised land is about redemption. These three themes, creation, revelation, redemption, reappear in other aspects of the Jewish life. For example, the three Shabbat meals. Now, going forward, because Shavuot recalls God's revelation of himself and his power and his Torah to the Jewish people, the synagogue readings for this holiday includes Exodus 19 and 20. This is Moshe's ascent on Mount Sinai and the receiving of the Ten Commandments written on stone, and the two passages celebrating other theophanies, or appearances of God, who we believe is Yeshua. Going forward, Ezekiel 1 and 2 and Habakkuk 3 also are read at this festival, and also is the book of Ruth. Appropriate because it is a story about a harvest, but in addition, since it tells of the joining of a Moabite woman, Ruth, to God's people, it gives a remez, spelled R-E-M-E-Z, a hint about the future aspect of God's work on earth of joining Gentiles to God's people, the Jews through Messiah. Finally, Shavuot is a traditional date on which King David died, as a point to be remembered. And so going forward, it is in this framework of Jewish thought and custom which Shavuot is celebrated as a festival of harvest and Torah that the events of Acts 2 must be understood, because it was God's intention to bring the Jewish new covenant from Jeremiah 31, 30, 33 through 34 to the Jewish people in a Jewish way. He made maximal use of the Jewish festivals to convey new truths in ways that emphasize their connection with old truths. So going forward, God promised through Jeremiah, I will write my Torah on their hearts. Last Shabbat, we were going through the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, and it spoke about that, writing, God writing his Torah upon his people's hearts. This he does as he gives his Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the same one God gives both Torah and Spirit, which thus are, in a sense, one, on the same one holiday. Think about that significance. Both the Torah came to the patriarchs on that day, and the birth of the Brit Hadashah, writing God's word upon the hearts of those 120 believers, was on that same day. His transitional period, where Yeshua had completely fulfilled Torah, so that the new Brit Hadashah and the fulfillment of Jeremiah 31 could come and take place in all these areas. Continuing here. Now going forward, Shavuot to the same one people, the Jewish people, stretching through history from the fire of Mount Sinai to the tongues of fire at Jerusalem. Yeshua himself called the first fruits, and he spoke of a harvest of people with prepared hearts in Matthew 9, 37 through 38, and John, Yohanan 4, 35. Later in the present chapter of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 persons became first fruits of the Spirit-empowered activity of Yeshua's Talmudim. And what did they have to simply do? To simply allow the Spirit of the living God to descend upon them, because they were one mind, one heart. They were spending time in prayer. And it was the act of the Spirit of the living God that gave them the ability to proclaim the good news in languages they did not even know. That's the power of God. Whatever God asks you to do, he will fulfill it if we're simply filled with his Ruach. And however the Ruach wants to demonstrate himself in and through us, is up to the Ruach, because you and I do not receive the glory, but it's the Father that receives all the glory. Amen? I'm going to end the first part of this message right now. A lot of information, a lot of detail, a lot of scriptures laid out, but these are the foundational things that we have to lay. We have to take time for us to fully understand the significance of the Feast of Adonai, the Feast of the Lord, so that every believer on the face of this earth, whether you be from a Jewish heritage or a heritage of the nations, it does not matter. These are feasts of your Lord, your God, and your Redeemer, and you have been grafted in to the commonwealth of Israel. And Abraham is your father, by faith and trust alone. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.